الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هجر عما نهى الله عنه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. As we all are aware that we have just entered the new Islamic year, the year 1447, the day being the 8th of Muharram. And now that this is a new Islamic year, so this commemorates 1447 years since the Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we look back at the Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it wasn't just an option for the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a compulsory duty, and it was a sign of them being sincere believers. And those who remained behind in Makkah Mukarrama, they were considered as insincere believers. So this hijrat, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, was a farz duty for each one of them. That if they had the means and the capability of moving and relocating from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara, then they had no choice and no option. And the reason for this was that as long as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkah Mukarrama, practicing Islam, practicing on Sharia, was extremely difficult. There was a lot of difficulty, atrocities that they had to face, and there were a lot of challenges that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to undergo. And their rights of practicing the deen were being suppressed, that they were unable to openly perform their salah freely in the haram, or to proclaim the adhan, or to do whatever they wanted to do freely and openly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that now it is the time for you to relocate and move over to Makkah, Medina Munawwara. For greater than staying in any place is your practice of deen. That above all, greater than everything else, is your deen and the security of your deen. That you may lose your wealth, you may lose your family members, but greater than all of that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed, He explains very clearly, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِيَارَةٌ تَخْشُونَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. That just in a nutshell, if everything related to this world, whether it is your family members, whether it is your home, or whether it is your business, if that becomes more beloved to you, if that has a greater place in your heart compared to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving in the path of deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces and warns the believers, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Then wait for the affair and the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. Meaning that now, if you really want to enjoy the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you really want to receive the true barakat and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in every aspect and in every facet of life, preference has to be given to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That though you will be inclined towards your business, towards the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, your family members, etc. But greater love, greater attention and greater focus needs to be to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when it comes to a clash between deen and your dunya, between deen and family, then priority lies in deen over your family and over dunya. And this is what Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu displayed. That on this occasion of hijrat, that they showed their true zeal for deen. That now when they relocated to Medina Munawwara, they went totally empty-handed. They were unable to take along all their belongings, their properties, and whatever wealth they had in Makkah Mukarramah. And whatever was left behind, that was now left to the hands of the kuffar and the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarramah. So they preferred and gave preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam over every other thing of life. But then the question comes that will this also apply to us or not? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, had announced that now that Makkah Mukarramah has been conquered and the rights of the Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah are no more being suppressed. So now la hijrata ba'da al-yawm, that now there will be no hijrat, that will be compulsory on the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained that there is yet another form of hijrat. That now in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the true muhajir? Who is the true person who is going to undertake some form of migration? That wal muhajir man hajara amma nahallahu anhu. That now that muhajir, that if we want to reach the rank of the muhajirin, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then who is that muhajir in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Man hajara amma nahallahu anhu. That person who totally forsakes and gives up everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. That this is the trial and this is the hijrat that the rest of the ummah needs to undertake. And more so in our context, that with shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when it comes to our religious freedom in this country that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to live in, then compared to most of the countries of the world, and even Muslim countries, we enjoy a greater amount of freedom compared to them with regards to our practicing of religion, etc. That masajid can be built, madaris can be opened, that people can go out very easily in jamaat, mashayikh can deliver their lectures wherever they want to deliver their lectures and have their programs. And there is hardly any form of restriction that you would find. There would be an odd one or two isolated incidents of where certain people's rights being suppressed and restricted. But in general, the amount of freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, then this is something that we need to offer our thanks and shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So as far as relocating to another place, then there is no reason for us to relocate. But what is really required of us now is that man hajara amma nahallahu an, that to totally stay away from all the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remain committed to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, when we look and study the lives of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they taught us this great lesson very clearly in their lives, that on whatever occasion it may have been, but they would always forsake the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only those things that were prohibited, but even those things that would earn the displeasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to some extent, though it might not have been some kind of prohibition. But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went that extra mile to ensure that they had not done anything that will cause any kind of discomfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she would say that although the women in Islam have been encouraged to apply mehendi, hina, But she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have some level of discomfort due to the smell of the hina. So she says that on account of this, I did not apply hina on my hands at all, just to ensure that no discomfort comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the great extent that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went to ensure that no form of discomfort, let alone breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even the slightest amount of discomfort should not even come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then when it came to the occasions of where there was a clash, a direct conflict between their beloved ones and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the Sahaba are second to none when it comes to this as well. That as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of them in glowing terms in the Quran Majid, that لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. That you will not find a group of people, meaning with reference to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, ever taking any kind of love for those people who oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even though those people may be their very close relatives, their parents, their own siblings, their own children, but they would never ever tolerate any kind of opposition to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore you would find that in the various battles of Islam, that whether it was in the battles of Badr, the battles of Uhud, etc., that despite those on the opposite end being their own parents, their own children, their own siblings, but the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went outright against them, wanting to even kill them, to make sure that these are the people who are opposing our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they were prepared to sacrifice their beloved ones, their close ones, those who were their own blood, because of their opposition to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, when you look at the lives of the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this was also a very outstanding feature in their lives, that anything that went against the teaching of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let alone going against it, but even if there was a slightest doubt that came up, and that was going against the teaching of Islam, then they would totally stay away from it. Again, fulfilling this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that who is that muhajir? Man hajara amma naha Allahu an. That it is reported regarding Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, Muhammad Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, who is counted amongst the greatest of the tabi'een. And he was amongst the selected students of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. So Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, although he was a great scholar of deen, but at the same time he had a business on the side, and he had his manager running that business of his. So he would sell oil on a large scale, and he had made it very clear with his manager that now you should make sure that everything is very clear when it comes to this oil, that there should be no adulteration and nothing should, no contamination whatsoever. So on one occasion, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah decided to inspect the containers of oil. So they would buy that oil in bulk, in huge containers, and then he would then separate it into smaller containers and sell it off. So whilst inspecting those small containers in which the oil had been poured in, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah had found that now there was a rat dead in one of these containers. So his mind then began running, that now this rat couldn't have come straight into this container here. It should have been into that large container that rat may have fallen in and died. So that means that all this oil is najis and impure. And when it is impure, then I cannot sell it. It is haram to sell something that is impure and najis. So he then instructed his manager that all this oil needs to be thrown away. Though I will suffer a loss, but I cannot tolerate selling this oil. And now because he had to throw away all this oil, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah was now owing his creditor. He became the debtor, and now he was owing that creditor of his, because now he was owing him a large amount of wealth and money, and he did not have sufficient funds to pay it out. So each time this person would come to ask him for payment that was due, so Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, he would excuse himself, explaining that now I cannot pay, I do not have sufficient funds. And his high level of integrity and honor had stopped him from even going out and asking people to assist him financially. So the Islamic law is that if the creditor cannot get his payment from his debtor on time, then the recourse that he has is to take him to an Islamic court. And then if the judge finds the ruling in favor of the creditor, that now the debtor is failing to make prompt payments, then that debtor would then be imprisoned until such a time comes when that entire debt is paid off. So Ibn Sirin rahimahullah explained to that creditor that I have no other choice, but the choice that you have is to imprison me. So this person took Ibn Sirin rahimahullah to court. So imagine, he was amongst the greatest of tabi'een. But again, to ensure that he does not earn a single cent of haram, he was prepared to go through all that difficulty and hardship. And eventually Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, when the court had found that Ibn Sirin rahimahullah is at fault because he cannot make that prompt payment, so he was put into prison. But again, so happened that while he was in prison, his ustad, Hazrat Anas bin Malik rahimahullah, had passed on. And it was the wasiyat of Anas bin Malik rahimahullah that Ibn Sirin rahimahullah should perform his ghusl and perform his janazah salah. So now the people came to Ibn Sirin rahimahullah and said that now this was the wasiyat of this great sahabi, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. And the prison warden, he is allowing you to come out. Now again, Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, the level of his precaution. So he explained and said that the prison warden doesn't have the right to release me even for a temporary period of time. That I am here in prison due to the right and due to the money that I am owing my creditor. That permission needs to be attained from him first. Only if he grants permission for me to be released, then only will I come out. So they had to go to the creditor and explain the entire situation to him. And then he granted permission for Ibn Sirin rahimahullah to come out of prison to attend to the ghusl and the janazah of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. And immediately after the janazah, again Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, of his own, without any kind of force and coercion, came back to prison. And then a time then came when he was able to acquire that amount of funds to pay out his creditor. But this incident teaches us again that remarkable lesson, that the moment they held or they found even that slightest amount of doubt and a clash between their interests and deen, preference was always given to deen, even though they had to undergo suffering and difficulties. So when it comes to our lives, this is what we need to take home as well. That when there is going to be a clash between our desires, our interests, and that of deen, then no matter what difficulty and hardship we would have to undergo, but if we really want to earn the special help and the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this would only be possible if we give up everything for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then on a general scale, if as an ummah at large, each person makes an individual effort in this line, then definitely we will find a remarkable difference and a total revolution in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we will find the conditions that the ummah is undergoing currently, those conditions would also be lifted, because the conditions that come down are based on the a'mal and actions that go up. So if we make the concerted effort to become true muhajirs in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will then allow the ummah at large to earn that special favor and the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses each of us with the tawfiq and that ability to understand the importance of staying away from every single thing that is prohibited, and to ensure that our lives in every facet that it may be in, is in total conformity with the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.